Tonight's sermon comes from Mark chapter 13. We have two more parables in our parable series, but this is the penultimate or second to last parable in the Gospel of Mark. So if you'd like to turn with me in your copy of God's Word to Mark chapter 13, we're going to read beginning verses 1 through verse 32. So let's hear the word of the Lord. And as he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumor of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. But these are but the beginning of the birth pangs. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all the nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. But when you see the abomination of desolation standing where he ought not to be, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down or enter his house to take anything out. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas, for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days, pray that it may not happen in winter. For in those days there will be such tribulation as has not been from the beginning of the creation that God created until now and never will be. And if the Lord had not cut short the days, no human being would be saved, but for the sake of the elect whom he chose, he shortened the days. And then, if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'Look, there he is,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But be on guard. I have told you all things beforehand. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." This is God's word. Let's pray and ask for his blessing on it to our hearts. Our Lord, our God, we thank you for this word. Jesus, we thank you for this word that you spoke to your disciples and that you have spoken to us. And we pray that you would grant us your spirit, that we might understand it. And we pray that we would see the things in this that bring us comfort and that build us up. Lord, I pray that you would be with me as I speak your word, that you would speak through me and that your church would be built up in comfort and in assurance that you are coming again. And it's in Jesus' name that we ask these things. Amen. We are living in the last days. The end of the ages are now. Jesus is coming soon. These are the last days that we're living in. Now, perhaps you've heard that from people, other Christians. And, you know, that is actually true. You are living in the last days. Of course, most American evangelical Christians today, when they speak about living in the last days, most have in their mind the idea that Jesus is probably coming within the next 5 or 10 years, that we are assuredly living in this last generation that is going to see Jesus' second coming. But when Scripture speaks about the last days, the Scriptures are speaking about the period between Jesus' going back to the Father and Jesus' coming again. So the last days began with Jesus' resurrection and his ascension. Right, we see that in Scripture. In 1 Corinthians, when Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, less than 30 years after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, he wrote to them. He said, "The Old Testament Scriptures were written and given to you upon whom the end of the ages has come." And then Paul wrote in the Hebrews, right, in times past, the Lord spoke in various ways, right, through the prophets to our fathers. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. When Peter was preaching at Pentecost, right, Peter said, he quoted the prophet Joel, saying, "In the last days, my spirit will be poured out." And then Peter says, "I tell you, these days are here." And so, Church of God, we are living in the last days. Now, in this chapter here, Jesus was teaching his disciples in order to prepare them for life in the last days. He was teaching them what to expect in the last days, what life would be like. And so this word is to you as well. This word is to teach you how to live in these last days and what to expect. This evening we're going to take a look at the parable that Jesus has spoken here. But we're going to begin, and I'm going to take a few minutes just to take a quick tour through the first 27 verses. And that's going to help us understand what Jesus is teaching in this parable about the fig tree. But we're going to see that in this parable, Jesus is teaching us that the things we see now assure us that he will come again, that he is coming again. And this is both a warning call and a great comfort. So let's look quickly here at verses 1 through 27. It begins when Jesus, just before his departure, right, before he's going to the cross. He's in Jerusalem with his disciples, and they're near the temple. And the disciples are looking at the temple built by Herod and admiring it. Now, you need to understand that the temple was considered one of the wonders of the world at that time. In fact, the stones that this temple had been built of were about the size of a modern-day train boxcar. These were massive stones. And the rabbis in at that time used to say, if you have not seen Herod's edifice, you have never seen a beautiful building. This was a magnificent sight. And so the disciples are there looking at this building and admiring. And they say, Jesus, look at the beauty and the magnificence of this structure. And Jesus responds to them, I tell you, a day is coming when not one stone will be left on another. Now, shortly after that, Jesus and disciples leave Jerusalem. They go up onto the Mount of Olives. And from the Mount of Olives, you could see the temple. And the disciples are very curious. Jesus is talking about the destruction of the temple and the destruction of Jerusalem. And so they ask Jesus, tell us, when are these things going to be? And what will be the sign that these things are about to happen? Now, when the disciples were asking Jesus this question, they were a bit confused, as often they were in speaking to Jesus. In their minds, the destruction of the temple and the destruction of Jerusalem was going to happen at the same time that Jesus returned again. So when Jesus says, not one stone is going to be left on another, they're thinking, okay, yes, Jesus is speaking about his second coming. And they are curious, as is very understandable. Okay, Jesus, we know that you are the Lord, you are the Savior. Tell us, when is this going to happen? When are these things going to happen? Now, Jesus responds to them, but he responds to them in a way that actually separates these events to help bring clarity for them. Now, he begins in verse 5 and says, see that no one leads you astray. So in the last days, things are going to happen that are going to cause you to take some alarm. And we see four things in this passage that Jesus says you're going to see. You're going to see wars. You're going to see false messiahs. And you're going to see natural disasters, earthquakes, famines. And you're going to see the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. But he is clear. He says, don't let anyone lead you astray. The end is not yet. When you begin to see these things, the end is not yet. These are but the beginning of the birth pains, he says. Now, when he says these are but the beginnings of the birth pangs, he's implying that these are things that are going to happen for some time. And in fact, that's what we have seen in history since the time of Jesus. We see nations rising against nations, kingdoms coming and kingdoms going. We see great natural disasters, tsunamis hitting the coast of Asia. We see earthquakes rattling Haiti and California and Mexico. We see false messiahs, right? Just think of the multitude of cults that have risen in our own country in the last 50 years. And that's happened throughout history, right? Muhammad, right, proclaimed to see a vision and invited people to follow him. Jesus says, when you see these things happening, don't be led astray. The end is not yet. Don't be dismayed. But he continues in verse 9, be on your guard, because in the last days, will also be characterized by persecutions. And so he prepares them. He says, you will be taken before kings. You will be persecuted by governments. But I will be using you to be a witness to them. You'll be persecuted by family. You'll be hated by father, mother, children. But don't be dismayed and continue to endure. And then he goes on in verse 14 to talk more specifically now about the destruction of the temple. The destruction of the temple happened, in fact, in 70 AD, when the Roman emperor, the Roman general, who was later to become emperor, Titus, came into the city and leveled the city. And Jesus, in this section from verses 14 through 23, speaks about the appearance of the abomination of desolation and then of a great tribulation. Now, here he's not speaking about an event that's going to happen at the end of the world upon his second coming. We know that because he tells us that when this happens, when you see the abomination of desolation, the significant persecution is about to happen. He says, flee, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Well, we know in Revelation, from Revelation 16, verse 20, that in Christ's second coming, that the islands are going to flee and the mountains will not be found. In other words, all of creation will be laid bare and there will be no hiding. So Jesus is not talking about that final event here. What is the abomination of desolation? Well, Jesus is speaking, he's making reference to something that we find in Daniel. Daniel speaks about the abomination of desolation in the temple, which referred to the desecration that happened in the temple at that time around 150 BC, 150 years before Christ's birth, when the pagan emperor Antiochus Epiphanes set up idols in the holy place of the temple and sacrificed a pig. And so Jesus is using that language here to speak about something similar is going to happen. We know from the Roman historian Josephus that there were several things that that happened similarly in Jerusalem between the years of 66 and 70 AD, just before the destruction of the temple. And scholars can disagree on what historical event precisely may have been the abomination of desolation. But here in this text, we know that Jesus is calling the reader to understand, and within that, in that, among that first generation, the Christians understood, those followers of Christ understood what Jesus was referring to, and believing Jesus' words, when they saw those things happening, left the city just before that significant destruction. In fact, the Roman historian Eusebius, who wrote a church history in the 4th century, writes that there were many Christians who escaped Jerusalem just before the destruction because they had heeded Jesus' words. But Jesus goes on in verse 21, after saying the days of that significant tribulation will be cut short. But he says, but then if anyone after that says, look, there is Christ. See, the temple was just been destroyed. There's Christ. He's come again. Jesus says, don't believe them, for false Christs are going to rise and false teachers are going to come, but don't follow them. And then he concludes this section by saying, be on your guard, I have told you all these things beforehand. I have told you all things beforehand, so you know what to expect. Then in verse 24, now he shifts and he begins to speak to their other question. Jesus, when are you going to come again? And he says, in those days, in the last days, in the midst of tribulations, in the midst of persecutions, famines, earthquakes, natural disasters, after that length of tribulation, I will come again. The sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will be falling from heaven, the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Jesus' second coming will happen at the end of those last days, at the end of these last days. And then he says, and then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds and from the ends of the earth. So this is what his people can expect living in the last days. Now this brings us to the parable. The parable of the fig tree. Jesus says, he's sitting on the Mount of Olives. And on the Mount of Olives grew, we know from history books, grew not only olive trees, but fig trees. And Jesus is probably pointing to a fig tree at this moment. And he says to his disciples, from the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. This is remarkable. Jesus says that the fig tree here that you see has a lesson for you, which is kind of remarkable that God has created the world in such a way that the things in it have these lessons for us to learn. Right? The God of infinite wisdom who created all things, created the creation with these embedded lessons. And Jesus, the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom, opens up these lessons to his people. And so he says, from the fig tree, learn its lesson. When you see its branch becoming tender and putting out its leaves, you know that summer is near. Now, a fig tree, think about April, the month of April, the month of May. It's been winter, and you're tired of snow, you're tired of cold days, and you begin to see trees budding. And there's always, there's that thrill that spring is here, right? Life is coming back. The trees are being reborn, so to speak. And then there's always that time towards the end of spring when those buds become full out leaves. You know, it's the first day when your front yard has shade from the sun. And you know that summer is near, and you take comfort from that. Well, Jesus tells us there's a lesson here. Verse 29, he says, so also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. So Jesus says, just as the fig tree, when the fig tree puts out its leaves, that's a sign that you know summer is near. So you have signs that tell you, right, that something very important is near. So when you see these things, you know that he is near. Now, what are these things that Jesus is talking about? Well, these things in verse 29 and 30 cannot refer or include Jesus' final coming, Jesus' second coming. We know that because he says to his disciples, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Of course, Jesus has not come back, right? If this referred to Jesus' second coming, then Jesus was wrong. But we know that Jesus is the Lord. And Jesus was not wrong. So what are these things? Well, these things are the things that Jesus said are going to characterize the last days. These things are the things that he spoke about. The wars. the natural disasters, the persecutions, and the destruction of Jerusalem. It says that these things are all going to take place in the last day. And when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near. And Jesus says, truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. And in fact, those things did take place. The disciples heard wars. They heard rumors of wars as the Roman army came in approaching Jerusalem. Eusebius and Josephus, the first century Jewish historian, records that there were earthquakes in that time. There were famines in that time. The disciples faced persecution. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was brought before kings, and he testified to kings. And he and the other apostles were persecuted. In fact, all of them, but John, gave their lives as they bore testimony to Jesus. So Jesus says, these things are going to take place in your generation. But these things are still taking place because we are still in the last days and we are still awaiting Jesus' return. But he says to them in verse 29, so also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near. So just as you see, again, the budding of the fig tree, you know that summer is near. Jesus says, when you see these things, you know that he is near. Now, what is Jesus talking about here? Who is near? He's speaking about himself. Jesus is near. Now, in the Greek, here, the pronoun he is actually ambiguous. It could be it, or it could be here. Jesus could be saying, it is near, or he is near. In Luke's gospel, when Luke records Jesus' teaching, Luke tells us that Luke explains he is near as the kingdom of God. He says, you know that the kingdom of God is near. So Jesus could be talking about the kingdom of God. But he could also be talking about himself in verse 26 when he says, then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. So when he says, truly, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, he could be referring to himself, the Son of Man. Well, those things are really synonymous. So it kind of doesn't matter, you know, how we understand in this verse whether Jesus is speaking, referring explicitly to the Son of Man or to the kingdom of God. Because when Jesus comes, he is going to come to bring the kingdom in its fullness. When Jesus, the Son of Man, comes again, then the kingdom of God will be revealed in all of its glorious fullness. In that day, righteousness and the knowledge of God is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. In that day, when Jesus, the King, comes again and brings his kingdom in its fullness, every enemy is going to be destroyed, including the last enemy, death. That's the day that Jesus is talking about. Now, this parable then tells us that the things that we see happening, right, these things that characterize the last day, are signs that point us and remind us that Jesus is coming again. Jesus will come again. And this first gives a warning call. Because Jesus is the judge, it is a reminder and it's a warning call to turn to him. In fact, that's the way Jesus preached in his ministry, right? Repent and believe because the kingdom of God is at hand. And when the king comes, right, he's going to banish all unrighteousness. So how do you prepare for the king to come? You turn to that king in faith and repentance, and you believe in him, and you receive his righteousness, his holiness, his life, so that when the king comes, you enter into the glory of his kingdom to live and dwell with him for all eternity. So this parable then is a warning call. Take warning when you see these signs. But secondly, this parable gives great comfort. When you see these signs, Jesus says, take comfort because you know that I am coming again. When you see these things that Jesus said are going to characterize the last days, when you see persecutions, when you see great disasters, when you see false teachings coming into the church, people being led astray, you can get discouraged, can't you? Jesus knew that his disciples could become very discouraged at seeing these things and be tempted to think, maybe Jesus is not coming back. Jesus rose victorious from the grave and he ascended into heaven to sit down at the right hand of God, but we're being thrown into prison. We're being persecuted. We're suffering. Look at the things that we're seeing in the world. Maybe Jesus is not king after all. Maybe he's not coming back again. And Jesus says, no, when you see these things, know that I am near. Take comfort. And Jesus adds emphasis here in verse 31. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So when you see these things taking place, remember, I told you beforehand that they were going to come. And when you see them coming to pass, know that all of my word is going to be fulfilled. When I say that there's going to come a day when the Son of Man comes in glory and power, just as surely as these signs, right, have come to pass, you know that I will come again. But when Jesus comforts his people and tells them that he is coming again and tells them that these things are signs pointing to that, Jesus is not simply saying one thing is going to happen. You're going to experience you're going to see these signs. You're going to experience the persecutions and you see the disasters, and then I'm going to come. But in fact, Jesus says these things are actually connected. In the way that a fig tree starts putting out its branches because summer is approaching, because the weather is warming up. In the same way, Jesus says, because you see these things, I am near. That's why he describes them as birth pangs, in fact, at the beginning of his discourse. He says, these are but the beginnings of birth pains. Now, I will not pretend to say that I know anything about what it's like to experience birth pains, but those among us who are mothers can understand how intense those pains can be. But those pains are actually the beginning of a process that ends in the joyful birth of a baby. And so Jesus says these trials are actually the birth pains that are leading and heading towards the glorious joy of my coming again and of the kingdom. Now, why birth pains? Why birth pains? Well, we are experiencing false teachers. We see people being led astray. We see persecutions because Satan is at work. And Satan is at work, actually, in fact, because he knows the end. He knows that Jesus has been exalted to king as king and that he has been defeated. And it's only a matter of time before Jesus comes and brings that kingdom into its glorious fullness. And so the persecutions and the false teachings are but Satan's wild last-minute rage against what he knows is the inevitable end. Jesus is coming again. But Paul in Corinthians reminds us that God actually is using those sufferings to prepare us for Jesus' coming again. Right? He says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, at the end of 1 Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians 4, brothers and sisters, these light and momentary afflictions are only preparing us for an eternal weight of glory. I love that phrase, right? These light and momentary afflictions. Here's the perspective. Right? These are just but momentary, but they're preparing you for that glorious return of Jesus. Now, as we move to a close, and as we consider this image of birth pangs leading to a birth, of a tree indicating, right, of leaves flowering out, indicating that summer is near. Mothers, when you began to experience those labor pains, did you know how long it was before that baby would be born? No. Right? That birth could have been short. Right? One of my brother's brother-in-law, his wife just had a baby a couple of days ago, and the labor was a short, brief 6 minutes. But I have friends who have experienced, right, labors that went on for 16 hours. You don't know how long it's going to be. And so it is with us. We don't know when that end is going to be. And this is what Jesus is emphatic to tell his disciples in verse 32. Concerning that day, the day of my second coming, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. You don't know, so don't bother trying to guess. But know that I will come again. This parable was given to us, this teaching is given to us, not for our curiosity, but for our comfort. This was given to us that we might be vigilant, not calculating. Know that I am coming again. But perhaps you may be thinking, like undoubtedly millions of Christians throughout history have thought, Lord, why so long? You are near. We know that you are near. We know that you're coming again. But why so long? Here we are in the year 2018. Jesus, why have you not yet come back to bring the kingdom in its fullness? Well, Jesus answers that question. He answered that question in verse 10. The gospel must first be proclaimed to all the nations. See, what's going to happen when Jesus returns again? Right? He told us, that day when the Son of Man comes in all his power and glory, then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. He's going to gather a mighty multitude, a huge multitude, an innumerable multitude of his people. And so, the period has been prolonged until every one of those people, every one of those elect, have the gospel preached to them. Why have the days been so prolonged? Because God is mighty in his mercy, and he has a great host to bring in. So, Remember, as you see things in this world, you see persecutions, right, in places like China, persecutions heating up. You hear about persecutions in North Korea. Maybe you experience some of those persecutions in your own life, from your own family or your coworkers. You see disasters. You see big tragedies. You experience small tragedies. Sometimes you experience big tragedies in your life. And Jesus says, when you see these things, know that these are only signs pointing to the fact that I am coming again. So take comfort. I am coming again. This is the promise of our God, and His word is sure. Take comfort, people of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your marvelous, wise plan. Jesus, we thank you for your kindness in preparing us for these last days. And we thank you that as we see things that sometimes make us feel that things are spinning out of control, we know that these are only the birth pangs. And they are moving towards, Lord, the joyous day when you will come again. Lord, as the fig tree shoots out its leaves in spring, and we know that summer is near, so we know that you are near and that you are coming again. We pray that you would comfort us with this truth each day. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.